Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to offer a couple of shout outs and something interesting that maybe I'll do a separate video about, because it's really a universal thing. Let me adjust the camera here a little bit. Okay. All right. So, Wayne, I try to abstain from using last names on the channel, just because privacy and internet is the whole thing, right? I hope you don't mind my using your first names. If that's an issue, please let me know in the comments or email me directly at tlksylvain@gmail.com. But Wayne, thank you so much for your recent donation. Wayne joins a select group of us who've asked for access to the digital, high-resolution digital version of Nichiren inscribed Gohanzon, this mandala of Gohanzon. And John, who's been a great supporter for a long time now on Patreon as well as independently, just sent me a long letter about his human revolution in practice, and so proud of you guys, by the way, all of you. This practice requires a lot of effort, and so you gotta know, I'm so grateful that you're all a part of this Sangha, but that you're determined in your practice. Just I can't even describe how amazed I am by your efforts. So lots of stuff to be proud of. On that note, this comes up all the time in our practice, especially if you come to this practice through certain groups or organizations. There's this tendency, and certainly there's one group in particular that comes to mind here, but it's true, it's just human nature, that under the guise of Buddhism, Nichiren's doctrine of Buddhism, or Nichiren's Buddhism, as they would say, which is not what we practice. We practice Shakyamuni's Buddhism, that is the only Buddhism. Nichiren is a great scholar with a very lucid scholarship and support of Shakyamuni's Buddhism. Nichiren exhorts us all the time to practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism. That's not his, but his elucidation, his bodhisattva instantiation in the world, his influence, he is the votary of the Lotus Sutra. And so we'd certainly follow Nichiren's scholarship and give him all credit for that. But that being said, what are we talking about when we're talking about Buddhist practice? These organizations, these groups, I'll avoid naming them unless I do a specific reference to them, but they tend to teach chanting for things, chanting for a better job, a better relationship, a car, chant to change that karma. And we hear that in an authoritarian Western society, a capitalistic world, that means that we are asking for something from our world. That is a fundamental problem of Buddhist practice. So listen carefully. When Nichiren spoke, and we just talked about the third doctrine in the most recent videos, you have to work on getting this clear in your mind. When we go to this mandala and we invoke Gohanzon, we invoke our Buddha wisdom, our Buddha nature, that is the entire goal of Buddhism. Stop right there. When I chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, I chant for one thing and one thing only. Single-mindedly, remember, Nichiren said, quoting Nichiren, single-mindedly chant to awaken your Buddha nature, to be at one with Buddha, to be awakened, period. You see, attaining your enlightened state is the answer, is the goal, is the reward. Because from that place, everything in samsara finds its place, works out, is perfect. The moment you say to yourself, as you're facing this mandala, I want, I need, give me, change this, change that, you're not in your Buddha mind. You're firmly in the monkey mind of samsara. Because what are you chanting for? You're chanting for desires. That's a complete and utter misreading of earthly desires or enlightenment. What is meant by that gosho, and what is meant by everything Nichiren teaches, is to use our samsaric, bewildered, attached, obsessed mind and use that motivation, not the object, the motivation, the energy, the will, to take us to this mandala of Gohonzon. And with that will, single-mindedly awaken Buddha. Don't ask your Buddha nature for a new car. Look, we do this because it's our nature. We convert everything into a want or need. We live in the age of greed, ego, and foolishness, stupidity. What is foolishness? It's going to this mandala of Gohonzon and chanting to get something from the world. That's firmly samsara. What are we practicing Buddhism for? To liberate ourselves from samsara. So what are you doing? Do you see the conundrum here? This may seem like a confounding or simple thing to say, but to actually really get it in your mind that when you go to this mandala, and this is why the mandala is so important, this is Nichiren's whole aha moment, that when we have this picture of Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the practice, the mode to awaken your Buddha nature, the representation of the entirety of that teaching, that Nichiren has given us an object to skew, to trick, to deviate, to distract our samsaric mind from earthly stuff to single-mindedly awaken our Buddha. That's the only goal. Because from there, everything works out. If every time you go to this mandala and you just are focused on changing stuff and achieving stuff, getting stuff, moving stuff, you're firmly rooted in samsara. You're still planting seeds of Buddhahood. Yes, you're not throwing away your practice. But you're so deeply impeding your progress. I want you to consciously know that no matter how badly you need to pay rent this month, that when you get in front of this mandala and you chant fervently, that you do not do it with a solid earthly samsaric mind of pay my rent, Gohonzon. Use that same Ichinen and flip it. Look at your Gohonzon, this mandala, and demand your enlightenment and demand your Buddha nature, your Buddha mind, your clarity. Have total confidence that if you do that, the rent will pay itself. It is not something you're asking of your Buddha nature. All you ask of your Buddha nature is to have it, to awaken this samsaric monkey mind, to have your Buddha. Have your Buddha and experience it too. To modify that queen's, I can't remember, which queen was it who said, have your cake and eat it too? So have your Buddha and experience it too. Experience Buddha. And the other earthly things will simply happen. They will ameliorate because your life will radiate Buddha nature, not because Buddha gave you rent. Please get the difference. It will make all the difference in your practice. A huge weight will lift from you when you shift your mind to invoke your Buddha mind. All of those other concerns, all of your wants and desires will turn into enlightenment, because rather than chasing those desires, you are chasing your Buddha-ness. With the same Ichinin and will that you use in your human mind, apply that volition to attaining your Buddha mind. Not to attaining the desires. That's not what that means. And I understand your confusion, because you have massive organizations like NSA and SGI and others telling you, chant for what you want. Oh my goodness, that's so wrong. It's take that energy and that desire that you have and plug it into attaining your Buddhahood. All of the other stuff takes care of itself, because that other stuff is your suffering. Why do we practice Buddhism? To liberate ourselves from suffering. So why are you trying to attain suffering? It's completely counter to Buddhism. And yet we get this message constantly. And ask yourself why we get this message. Right? It's politics, it's power. It's if I can get you to mystically, magically have a wishing tool, then you'll do anything I say. Right? That's the mechanism of authoritarian capitalism. That's not Buddhism. And I will repeat this to my grave. Just as Nichiren has said it so clearly, single-mindedly chant to awaken your Buddha. He never says chant to gain possessions, firmly instantiate your obsessions, get what you want from this Aladdin's lamp. There's never that kind of rhetoric. No, rather it is take that same kind of passion that you have about stuff in this life and convert that energy, not those desires, that energy toward manifesting your Buddha nature. That is the only thing that should be happening between you and this mandala and your daimoku. Anytime you chant, you should be chanting for your enlightenment. You get in a car accident, chant for your enlightenment. Even in good time, you get a bonus check or something, chant for your enlightenment. Chant appreciation for your enlightenment. If you make gains in life and you're thankful, you're in a new relationship and you're deeply in love, chant gratitude for your Buddha nature, because that's how you've gotten these rewards. Even though they're earthly things, don't look at them as earthly rewards. Look at them as tremendous support for your practice of being enlightened. Same thing goes the other way. If some obstacle manifests in your life or in a loved one's life, whatever the situation, chant for your Buddha nature to come and change the situation. Because the situation is mental. That's what we're changing. That's what Buddhism is about. Your mental life state. And your mental life state influences everything you experience, right? Self and environment. I say this over and over and over and over, and in different ways. And we're really stubborn, we humans. We go, oh yeah, I did. That's what I do. He's saying the same thing I hear all the time, you know. So if I have problems, take it to Gohonzon. Understand that you're not taking your problem to Gohonzon. What you're doing is taking your energy, your impetus, your attachments, your obsessions, your all-involving mind about this particular thing, and you're putting it there while you then go to Gohonzon and say, here's my motivation, make me Buddha, awaken my Buddha mind. Not awaken my Buddha mind to fix that, that's samsaric. Awaken my Buddha mind with all the confidence in the world that simply by awakening your Buddha mind, that ceases to be a problem. You don't have to direct that. All you have to do is awaken Buddha-ness. Everything else becomes clear, takes care of itself. Is that not the description of Buddhahood we're constantly reading about? It's about confidence. Know that therein is the solution, your liberation from these things that cause suffering. That is how to chant, my friends. I guarantee it, the shift that will happen when you finally get that in every pore of your mind. I can't explain it any other way. It is like a huge weight suddenly, like your very breath itself inflates your weightlessness. You'll tingle. I'm tingling right now talking about it. All right, enough tingling. Let's get into this next Go Show, which wouldn't surprise me at all if it touches on this totally once again. The title of this Go Show is, This is What I Heard. I received the scroll of the entire Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law that you copied in small characters, as well as 2 quilted robes, 10,000 coins, and 100 folding fans as offerings for consecrating the scroll. Wow. Who did he write this to? That was an amazing feat to transcribe the entirety of the Lotus Sutra. Yeah, definitely. To a lay monk, Soya Jiro. Well, Soya Jiro, or Hiro, what an amazing feat. So, in the first volume of the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, we find a passage that states, quote, the word this, of this is what I heard, indicates the essence of a doctrine heard from the Buddha. And the first volume of the annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra states, quote, if this is not the teaching that surpasses the 8 teachings, then how can it be considered the teaching of this Lotus Sutra? End quote. The Flower Garland Sutra begins, quote, the great and vast Buddha Flower Garland Sutra. This is what I heard, end quote. The Wisdom Sutra begins, quote, "The great perfection of Wisdom Sutra, this is what I heard," end quote. The Mahavarachana Sutra begins, quote, "The Mahavarana Protection Through Supernatural Powers Sutra, this is what I heard," end quote. What does this indicate in these and all other sutras? It refers to the title of each sutra. When the Buddha expounded a sutra, he put a title to it, revealing its ultimate principle. How important is that to know? If you've been practicing Nichiren's doctrine at all, for any length of time, the Daimoku, Myoho Renge Kyo, or Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, as we devote ourselves entirely to Myoho Renge Kyo. This question comes up all the time. Why the title? Why? Because that is the summation of the teaching at hand. Myoho Renge Kyo is the lifespan chapter. Myoho Renge Kyo is the entirety of the Lotus Sutra, the truth never before taught by the, in Buddha's own words, in Shakyamuni's own words, right? In the 40 and more years I've been teaching different sutras, I have not yet revealed the truth until now, the Myoho Renge Kyo, right? After the Buddha's passing, when his listeners such as Ananda, Manjushri, and Vajrasattva compiled the Buddha's teachings, they first stated the title of the sutra, and then, "This is what I heard." The heart of each sutra is contained in its title. For example, the land of India was 70 states, and its borders measure 90,000 ri, yet the people, animals, plants, mountains, rivers, and earth within them are all included in the single word, India. All things that exist on the four continents of the world are clearly reflected on the face of the moon without exception. In like manner, the teachings of a sutra are encompassed in its titles. Its title. The titles of the Agama Sutras, for instance, explain the ultimate principle of these sutras, which is that all things are impermanent. These titles are 100,000 and 10,000 times superior to the two characters, meaning existence and non-existence, used in the title of the non-Buddhist scriptures. Followers of all the 95 non-Buddhist schools, hearing the titles of the Agama Sutras, abandoned their erroneous views and converted to the truth of impermanence. Those who hear the titles of the Wisdom Sutras realize the three teachings that all things are non-substantial in themselves, that the middle way is independent of non-substantiality and temporary existence, and that it is inseparably united with them. Those who hear the title of the Flower Garland Sutra perceive either of the last two of the above teachings. Those who hear the title of the Mahavarachana Sutra, as well as the Correct and Equal and the Wisdom Sutras, understand that all things, when analyzed, prove to be without substance, or that all things are non-substantial in themselves. Right? That's the impermanence thing, that everything arises and decays. Right? Everything arises from not being there to decays to not being there. It's just a temporary instantiation, right? Just like each moment of life. However, those who listen to the titles of such provisional sutras are unable to realize the benefit of perfect enlightenment that arises from the teachings of the mutual possession of the 10 worlds, the 100 worlds, and the 1,000 factors, and the 3,000 realms. They're not able to do that. The sutras other than the Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo, do not expound this ultimate doctrine. And so their followers are like ordinary persons at the stage of being a Buddha only in theory. They're just practicing with hope, essentially, without substance. The Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who appear in those sutras do not reach the stage of hearing the name and words of the truth in the practice of the Myoho Renge Kyo, Lotus Sutra, let alone the stage of perception and action, for they do not even chant the title of the Myoho Renge Kyo. This is why the great teacher Miao Lo stated in On the Words and Phrases, if this is not the teaching that surpasses the eight teachings, then how can it be considered the teaching of this Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo? The titles of the various other sutras fall within the eight teachings. These titles are like the meshes of a fishing net, while the title of the Lotus Sutra is like the main cord of the net that gathers the meshes of the eight teachings. Those who chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the title of the Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo, the title of the Lotus Sutra, even without understanding its meaning, realize not only the heart of the Lotus Sutra, but also the main cord or essential principle of the Buddha's lifetime teachings. You know, regarding what I said earlier, this is exactly right. You will gain benefit, but it will not be conspicuous because you will be gaining benefit despite your samsaric mind. This is what I was saying earlier. If you're chanting for earthly pleasures, you're firmly stuck in samsara. Your life will improve simply because you're practicing the correct teaching, but you will be unaware of a function of it in your life. This is why I plead with you to understand the difference between taking the impetus and energy from your earthly life, your earthly desires, and just pull that energy, that desire, that want, that obsession, and use it as the motivator, your ichinen, your desire, your focus on give me my Buddha, instantiate my Buddha. You're talking to yourself and you're saying, Sylvain, Bob, John, Betty, whatever your name, whatever I am in this human existence, let myself release the monkeys and know my Buddha-ness, my Buddha nature. In words, it's hard to say, as you can witness. And let the problems, the desires, the obsession, the wins, the losses, whatever, let them sit on the shelf while you go practice. There's a big difference and you will feel it. You will know it. This is when you fuse with Gohanzen. All that other stuff goes bye-bye because it's impermanent. It's not real. Let's see where we are. A crown prince who is only 2 or 3 years old will, when he ascends the throne, reign over the empire and be obeyed by the imperial regent and ministers, although he is presently unaware of this. That's exactly what I'm saying. A baby has no consciousness, conscious understanding, but taking the mother's breast grows naturally. In contrast, an arrogant minister who belittles a young crown prince will bring about his own downfall, as did Chao Kao of the Qin dynasty. The scholars of the other sutras and schools who look down upon a prince who chants only the title of the Lotus Sutra will eventually cause their own ruin, as Chao Kao did, and fall into the hell of incessant suffering. However, if a votary of the Lotus Sutra who chants its title without knowing its meaning is frightened by the learned priest of other schools into forsaking his resolute mind, then that person is like the young puppet emperor Hu Huai, who replaced the crown prince but was intimidated and killed by Chao Kao. Because when you operate in your monkey universe, nothing is stable. And so it eats you up. Your human life eats you up. Your samsaric life just chews you up, because all you are in samsaric life is a big desire machine looking for fulfillment. If you doubt that, look at any child. I mean, baby. They're just want machines. They point out to us our samsaric reality face to face. Right? Babies cry because they want. That's all they know. That's their universe. And all we do as we grow up in samsara is develop that want and get more clever about it. So how could that energy ever lead us to enlightenment? Only, as Nichiren points out, if we cleverly strip the want and desire from its physical or samsaric focus, strip that focus with that same energy and go, aha, Buddha-ness. I want my Buddha. I want to instantiate Buddha. I want to single-mindedly, I want this Buddha to happen, this awakening to happen in me. And detach it from whatever was motivating that level of desperation or joy or attachment or obsession or whatever. Do you see the difference? It is absolute key. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo is not only the core of the Buddha's lifetime teachings, but also the heart, essence, and ultimate principle of the Lotus Sutra. Yet, as wonderful as this teaching is, no one has spread it out or spread it, propagated it, during the more than 2,220 years since the Buddha's passing. The 24 successors of the Buddha in India did not propagate it, nor did Tendai or Myalo of China, nor Prince Shotoku of the great teacher Dengyo of Japan. Therefore, when I, an insignificant monk, expounded it, people refused to believe it, thinking that it must be a false teaching. This is perfectly understandable. For example, if a lowly soldier had announced that he had seduced the beautiful court lady Wang Chao Chun, no one would have believed it. Similarly, people cannot believe in a humble monk could expound Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the heart of the Lotus Sutra, which even Tendai and Dengyo, who ranked as highly as ministers and court nobles, did not propagate. You may not know this, but the crow, the most despised of birds, can recognize omens of good and evil, negative influence, events that will occur during the year, which the eagle and the hawk cannot. A snake is no match for a dragon or an elephant, but it can foresee the coming of a flood 7 days in advance. Even if Nagarjuna and Tendai had not known the teaching that I propagate, if it is clear in the light of the sutra, one should not doubt it. Because those are the words of Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddhism. One who holds me in contempt and does not chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo is like a baby who doubts its mother's milk and refuses the breast, or a sick man who is suspicious of his physician and rejects the medicine prescribed for him. Nagarjuna and Vasubandhu realized this teaching but did not propagate it, perhaps because they knew that the time was not right and that the people of their day had no capacity to understand it. Others most probably did not spread it because they were ignorant of it. Buddhism spreads according to the time and the people's capacity. Although I may not be worthy of this teaching, I expound it because the time is right. And again, I will remind you how much Nichiren makes certain that he portends or portrays himself as a humble student. He's not trying to impose his will as some superior prophet or anything of that nature. Nichiren is the consummate bodhisattva. Our contemporaries think of the five characters of Myoho Renge Kyo only as a name, but this is not correct. It is the essence, that is, the heart of the Lotus Sutra. Chang'an stated, quote, "Hence, Tendai's explanation of the title in the preface conveys the profound meaning of the sutra. The profound meaning indicates the heart of the text," end quote. According to this comment, Myoho Renge Kyo, Lotus Sutra, teaching, is neither the scriptural text nor its meaning, but the heart of the entire sutra. Those who seek the heart of the sutra apart from its title are as foolish as the turtle who sought the monkey's liver outside the monkey, or the monkey who left the forest and sought fruit on the seashore. Nichiren. And this was written again, as I said, to the lay monk Soya Jiro. Wow. I don't know about you, but that seemed like a very timely discussion. That this teaching, Myoho Renge Kyo, this teaching is for us, for you and I, for this time. And this teaching is because in this time, you and I are living in the age where we can go to this mandala, focus our eye consciousness, our oral consciousnesses of speaking and listening, our body, your whole body will tingle when you chant single-mindedly, Myoho Renge Kyo, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, to this perfect object, this mirror of your Gohonzon, with no other thought in your mind than instantiate Buddha, instantiate Buddha. Look at my mind, make my mind Buddha-ness, make me aware, make me see through my Buddha lens, my experience of Buddha. This is what I must now experience, instantiate, manifest. Not fix me, not fix that, not fix that. Fixes are in. That's samsaric. Just Buddha me. Buddha me. Maybe I'll make a t-shirt. Buddha me. With that mind. Right? It's like the door into your butsudan room is like a filter that takes all that energy about the thing, all the stuff I need, all the monkeys screaming, and that motivation. And you walk through that screen and all those monkeys just go, whoop. But you still have all that energy, like you're in the midst of running a quarter mile. Take that energy, go right to this mandala, and take that energy and go, Buddha me. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. That kind of, the only word I can come up with, that kind of confidence, invested awareness. Oh, you'll experience it. Let me know in the comments. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for validating my practice. Stay healthy. Don't forget to download. I don't know how this sounds in a podcast. I might sound like a crazy man in a podcast. I don't know. Maybe you think of me that way already. I don't care what you think of me. As long as it motivates you to chant, to get a Gohonzon, a mandala of Gohonzon. Awaken your Buddha nature. And I will be deeply gratified and proud and impressed. You guys are awesome. Stay that way. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.